life. As you see, Warren isn't here, and all of a sudden we have to change gears a little bit, and some people are going to step up to the plate with about 2 minutes' notice. And I don't know whether that caused any stress in your life or not, but you didn't know what you were going to do before you came. And, you know, there's stress all over in our world. And it has become a way of life for us. We live in a world with stressed out people. And there are those people that feel like they're rotten fish and they're in a blender and somebody has the finger on the pulse button just waiting to push it and make a mess out of your life. Oh. Some people have so much to do, they're all stressed out, and they look at all that they have to do, and they don't know how they're going to do it, and so they get all stressed. Oh. Some people just feel stress when they get up in the morning, and then there are those people who say, oh, I'm so stressed, I need a double espresso from Starbucks, you know, one that's good and dark and black and big, and that'll cure my stress. And what happens is they're going like this, you know, and they're shaking away. You know, there are some people who feel so stressed in their hearts that they feel their heart is being squeezed and they don't understand what's happening around them and everything is so perplexing in life and their heart is being squeezed and they wonder, will their heart make it or will it stop? There are even those people, and I don't understand them, but there are those people who say they need stress in order to function. They claim that they need stress to push them to excellence. But when I look at them, they're still stressed. Some say, oh, I'm glad that's over. I have good news for you this morning. When I was looking at that word stress this week, I looked at it this way, and I looked at it this way, and it was causing me some stress. But then I figured out the answer. You spell it the other way around, and you get desserts. I like that. But the problem with that is that you can't live with pumpkin pie with whipped cream piled high for every meal of the day. That doesn't work. So how can we rise above the stresses and pressures of this day and our life? So the question is easily asked, does Christ make a difference? Well, most Christians would say, oh, well, of course he does. Well, if he does, then what difference does he make today that your life is different than it was yesterday? Are you different through the power of Christ? And does Christ make a difference in how you handle the pressures and the stresses of life, which we all have? In the second reading this morning, the great apostle gives us a number of instructions to follow that enlightens us to the result of following those instructions. They're good ones. And we find that these instructions can be the key to living with less stress. So, what are they? Well, number one, a rejoicing heart. Rejoice in the Lord always. And just in case you didn't hear it the first time, he says, again, rejoice. God wants us to have joy. And that's good. Now, of course, there are those that don't believe that. There are some that see God as this crotchety old man waiting for us to screw up somehow and make a mistake so that he can smack us over the head with a 2x4. But that's the wrong view of God. They see God as somebody who is trying to take all the joy away from life and having fun. This is a misunderstanding of who God is. It's a wrong view of God. We know from the Bible that Jesus wants us to have joy. I read, and Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made, what?
Full.
Absolutely. Jesus wants us to have so much joy that we're so full of joy that it oozes out from us. See, Jesus didn't come into this world simply to give us the capacity to exist. I refuse to just exist in life. He came to give us life, abundant life. He came to complete our joy and to make it full. And we're told to rejoice how many times? Always. Always? Is that possible? You might say, but you don't understand what's going on in my life. I'm supposed, with all that stuff that's going on, I'm supposed to rejoice? Well, yes. How can we possibly rejoice when all this stuff is happening? Well, I admit, it looks pretty tough. And if it means that we're supposed to have joy for everything that happens to us, my friends, it's impossible. But that's not what he's saying. It's not for everything, it's in everything. And there's a big difference between those two. You know, many of you know that I was planning on going to Israel on a scholarship from the Diocese of Toronto at St. George's University in Jerusalem, and I was supposed to leave November 2nd. Exactly. Uh-oh. I canceled the trip because I don't want to go to where the war is. So what do I say? Do I say, thank you, God, for my canceled study junket that I was looking forward to for 10 months and use the scholarship and walk all those interesting places? Or do I say, thank you, God, that I wasn't in Israel when war broke out? Or do I say, thank you, God, that you are with me no matter what happens? Your presence is with me all the time, and I can have joy, and I can have and I can rejoice. But what do I rejoice in? You see, no matter what happens, stuff happens in life. And my friends, we can always be thankful for God's mercy in our lives. We can always be thankful for his grace. We can always be thankful for his forgiveness, his love, and for his perfect provision for every situation. My friends, we are blessed beyond measure, and we rejoice. And so what brings you joy? I challenge you, write it out. We heard this morning from the kids, their siblings give them joy. Well, they also give them consternation sometimes. That's true. But our brothers and sisters, our friends, there are things that bring us joy. List them. Meditate on that. Focus on it. Write them down, all the things that give you joy this afternoon. And stick it on your bathroom mirror. You know, when I look in the mirror, sometimes I look in there and I say, how'd that old man get in there? I need a distraction from that into that list of things that give me joy. And rejoice in that. Number two, a gentle spirit. Let your gentleness be evident to all. You know, gentleness is not weakness. I really believe that gentleness is a character of strength. It takes a strong person to be truly gentle. And we are challenged to be gentle people. If someone doesn't agree with me about God, my faith is not shaken in any way. There's no need for panic. I can be calm and I can be gentle. See, gentleness helps me communicate truth to others. And I have come to believe that you can't really argue anybody into the kingdom of heaven or to believe the truth. Jesus never tried this. My friends, Jesus simply stated the truth and says, there it is, and left it with the people. If they believed it, fine. And there was great rejoicing. If they didn't, he didn't shout it louder as if they didn't hear it the first time. He simply let them think about it and then let them respond to it. Number three, an unanxious attitude. We read, do not be anxious about anything. That sounds impossible to me. What do you worry about? You know, my friends, I wish I didn't worry. I do some of my best anxiousness at 3 a.m. in the morning when I can't do anything about it. And it annoys me and it takes my sleep away from me. You know, the real antidote to worry is simply trust in God. And I have to remind myself that God loves me. We read it all over in Scripture that God loves us. We read all over the place that God is in control and He wants the best for us, and we can trust Him with our lives and with our fears. We are called to simply trust God. An unanxious attitude comes from faith in the goodness of God. And then we can relax. And we can relax in God's perfect plan for our lives. And we find that worry and anxiety disappears in the light of His love. Number four, a prayerful lifestyle. But in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now this message is simple. I can understand it. Don't panic. Pray. We are invited to talk to God about anything. There's nothing that we can't talk about to Him. There's nothing too small. There's nothing too big. We can pray about everything. And my friends, we are never bothering God by our prayers. And it doesn't matter whether it's the minute little thing that we're praying about or the big thing. God is never too busy not to hear us, because we have an advocate who is praying even on our behalf before the Father. It's beautiful. And we're encouraged to come to Him. And it says we're supposed to cast our prayers on Him. You know what casting is, right? It's a fishing term. You put a bait on the end of your hook and you cast it out, and a fisherman reels it back in. We're not supposed to do the reeling back in. We simply cast it and leave it with God and don't reel it back in. Every time I reel it back in, I worry. So cast your cares on Him. My friends, we are God's personal concern. Number five, a peaceful mind. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It is God's peace that will protect our hearts and our minds. A peaceful mind is a testimony to everyone around of God's power in our lives. It's the result of a rejoicing heart, a gentle spirit, an unanxious attitude, a prayerful lifestyle. It's the opposite of a stress-filled life that many live today. Friends, can we agree on something this morning? Can we agree to live a stress-free life by trusting Christ in everything? You see, these are real simple instructions, but they have eternal results. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank You for Your Spirit that dwells within us. Thank You that You've come to give us peace. And as we rely together as a community of faith and individually on Your presence in us as we face the stresses of life, we thank You for taking that anxiety away and giving us joy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.